We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobovka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany? Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck and pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to String Cheese.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know
where mama at.
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Jimmy, your music sucks, and I'm relieving you of all music duties today, all right? You can just go home, bro. Jimmy. You can go home.
Solana, this is franchise mode Madden 2020.
It is.
This
That's
is
crazy.
When you're picking your players.
That's crazy. How the hell did you know that?
It's a great shot by Crowder, but striking to me that the first thing you said when we started the show was to rip Jimmy. Not even a, hey, how you doing? Hawk's not here today. It's Jimmy, you're fired.
Jimmy, you're out.
Hates Jimmy. I don't know if you knew it, pal.
Oh, no, Jimmy. I know.
Oh, okay.
I like Jimmy, but sharing a studio with him every day for 5 hours, yeah, I mean, listen. Hawk is off today. I do love Jimmy, by the way. I really do. Hawk is off today. Happy New Year. Happy Rosh Hashanah to all those who do celebrate. We have a lot to get to today. MLB baseball playoffs are happening. We have one more game today, and Appel's actually here. We tried to break this down the other day. Appel, like a little baseball primer for everybody.
And I can't imagine how that went.
what we noticed was that the only players we can name still left in Major League Baseball is Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts. I think that's what we came down to.
I loaded up last night. I got Machado. I got Tatis. Soto.
Yeah,
I got
Padres.
Some guys last night.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, Luis Arraez and Tanner Scott and Brian Hoeing, three Marlins who started the season, are playing huge roles for the Padres right now. So you know those three.
We ain't talking about Hoeing. You would have started off wrong. We're not talking about Hoeing today.
Hoeing's a superstar.
We're talking about baseball. Oh, okay.
So is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing, though, Appel? Like we're rooting. I don't know. I don't know if you have any allegiance here. I would imagine, like I do, I'm rooting against anybody in our division. So Phillies, I'm rooting hard against the Phillies. But are we rooting for the Padres then? Because they have so many former Marlins.
I'm kind of on the Padres bandwagon here. Partly because of that. And I just like, it's a good fan base, good atmosphere at those games. I want to see them make a run. I want to see somebody different go deep into the postseason. With the Braves being eliminated, you know, that's one team that we're familiar with getting deep into the playoffs now out of it. So we should have some new teams that are going to make a run here. The Tigers. How about the Tigers beating the Astros? Now, there's a fair one. Because if you don't follow baseball really at all, if you are even less than a casual fan like you guys are in this show, respectfully, you don't know anybody on the Tigers. Not a single player.
No.
Which makes it all the more impressive how awesome it was that they went into Houston and won two in a row.
Against a little bitty boy, Altuve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See?
I know people are hyped about that.
I don't think you give yourself enough credit.
All right, that's gonna wrap up our baseball coverage for today.
Crowder, hey, Mets Brewers game three tonight.
Crowder, make sure your mic is connected really quickly because I don't think it is. So here's the plan for today. Again, Hawk is off; he'll be back tomorrow. Yesterday, Appel, just to kind of loop you in. Yesterday, Crowder, Hawk, and I did our best to not talk about the Miami Dolphins. I should say upset. But I think really like the base of the fan base, right, we're disappointed. Like, it sucks. It feels like the wheels are coming off on the Dolphins. But obviously, Tyreek Hill yesterday tried to shut down some narratives about him on the sideline chewing out Mike McDaniel. He says that's not what he was doing. He also shut down the idea that, you know, there's trade rumors and that he would be interested in a trade. He said all the right things. And then we found out about Jalen Phillips yesterday. So it was on top of the Monday Night Football disaster. That was like a big blow, I think, to just the morale of Dolphins fans everywhere.
Solana, it's that there was a whole summer of us thinking we were Super Bowl contenders. There was a whole summer of thinking, hey, this amazing top three offense in all categories were going to carry us. McDaniels is guru. Tua was going to be fine. He played all the games last year, and it all came crashing down, honestly, before Tua was hurt. That Jacksonville game wasn't that impressive. Like, in a month.
Going back to last year in general.
Yeah.
Going back to last year. But in a month, I think we amped ourselves up so high. We got so confident in this team, and it crashed in a month of time, even before Tua was hurt. And then Tua getting hurt just put the exclamation point on our demise of confidence.
You know, I can't be the first person to make this observation, but like, when was the last time the Dolphins just like had a normal loss, right? Where they just lost a game and that was that. I mean, you've got a blowout at home on Monday Night Football against Tennessee and Mason Rudolph while you lose Jalen Phillips to another season-ending injury. Obviously, the Buffalo game was a blowout. You lose to a Tagovailoa. You go on the road to Seattle, and your quarterback gets knocked out of the game in a game you get blown out in. Last year in Kansas City, you're all hurt. Everybody's injured. You're playing in negative a million degrees. Buffalo, you're throwing to Chase Claypool at the end and interceptions and blowing the season. The Tennessee game was an absolute disaster that cost them the 2 seed and at least one home playoff game. Like, this team, if you look back at all of their losses, like blown out by Buffalo, blown out by Baltimore, they don't have normal losses. Every loss this team has, it creates some huge existential crisis. It's insane.
Especially on primetime. On primetime, too, right? Like, every time.
Never a normal loss.
Go back 2 years ago, Tua, Thursday Night Football, we know what happens. But then the next time you're on primetime that season and Tua's back, it's Christmas Day against the Packers, and all of a sudden some random Twitter user is telling us that Tua Tagovailoa had a concussion, and we find out the next day he did. He had another concussion. He's out for the season. Last year, primetime, Monday Night Football, you get your season stripped from you despite having a 3-game lead on the division to the Tennessee Titans, and despite having that game locked up for the most part.
It's a 2-score game with like 4 minutes left.
This year, Tua gets hurt again on primetime Thursday Night Football, and then Monday Night Football, you're, for the second straight week, embarrassed on Monday Night Football.
Let's miss a late field goal from 48 with time expiring and see what happens.
Hey,
let's just have a normal loss.
Right, like, you played a good game, but the other team played a good game, and whatever, it came down to the wire, you lost. It doesn't happen like that for the Miami Dolphins. We're going to get into it today. Aronde Gadsden is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. I want to know, Crowder, because we've talked a lot about this offense. Tyler Huntley's going to start on Sunday in New England. And I think the last I checked, New England's still a 2-point favorite at home. I got to double check that. But, like, clearly, Tyreek and Waddle have to be frustrated. Does it get to a point in the game where, as a receiver, you're just like, hey, bleep the guy over there with the glasses. Get me the ball. If you have to step up into the actual, like, line of scrimmage and audible into a play to get me the ball, I wonder if it gets to this point, if, again, on Sunday, the Dolphins can't move the ball, the offense has zero fluidity to it, and Tyreek is just like, bleep the playbook. Get me the ball.
I think we're watching that in real life with Davante Adams in Las Vegas, where it's like, hey, we know this offense ain't good. Hey, you don't have a top quarterback. I'm still Davante damn Adams. Like, to your point, Waddle has to be sitting there. Reek has to be sitting there saying, there's no way to scheme up something to give me the ball. Well, you know, Tyreek's dropped some recently as well. That little first drive last week. But to your point, you have these weapons. Find out how to use the weapons. I almost went back to what I said last week about this offense where, hey, now you'll figure it out. Now you'll put plays in for Huntley. It's going to look different than the Tua. But it's almost like thinking my four-year-old is not going to throw everything in the backyard in the pool every time he goes in the backyard. Every time Chaz goes in the backyard, anything that's mobile is getting thrown in the pool. And I'm dumb to think now after 4 years that every rake, every ball, every rock he can find, he's throwing in the deep end of the pool. For me to say again this week that McDaniel is going to figure out an offense for Tyler Huntley, they're going to do more of the, and I said it last week, they're going to do more of what you saw the Ravens do Sunday night. They're going to do more pulling guards, RPOs, different things where now Tyler's only looking one way where he's going to fake it to, you know, A-chan coming across. He's going to have a slant in the post if he can throw it, or he's going to take off running. I'm going to limit his decision making. I thought that was going to happen last week. I hope it happens this week, but I can't tell you, Solana and Josh, that it's going to happen this week because of the fact that I thought, I know I'm not smarter than Mike McDaniel offensively. Last week, I don't know now if I might be smarter than Mike McDaniel offensively because it did not happen last week, and that's exactly what has to happen for the Dolphins offense to win.
Well, you would think just like a general requirement of going to now your third quarterback of the season, fourth quarterback if you count Tim Boyle, that you would prepare something that's a little more simplified for him and not this intricate scheme offense that they run. The fact of the matter is the offense is going to be the offense. He's just got to tinker it to kind of fit what they think Tyler Huntley does best. There were some clips floating around on Twitter after the game on Monday night, just like all 22 views. Brian Baldinger had a Baldy's breakdown about some of these plays. There were plays out there for Tyler Huntley to make where, I mean, I know Waddle had a drop, but there were other plays where, like, Tua's the quarterback. He anticipates the routes. He anticipates the throws, and he delivers them. I mean, Tyreek, you hit one of those two deep balls of Tyreek where he was open. You know, maybe we're having a different conversation. But, I mean, clearly that's not Tyler Huntley's strengths. And it's a very difficult watch. And Crowder, you mentioned things like, well, pulling guards and running the ball more and being more focused on that. Like, they're incapable of doing that. They can't block on the inside, so they can't run in between the tackles. They're all small on the outside. Waddle, Berrios, Tyreek Hill, Durham Smythe. Like, Julian Hill's their biggest body that they have out there, and he can't block either. So this entire offense that's predicated, that was so successful last year, on running to the outside, that zone scheme, they can't do it this year because physically they just cannot. They cannot open up any holes for Devon Achane and Jalen Wright right now. And I also wonder, too, how much Raheem Mostert's absence affects things as well, because they're putting a lot on Devon Achane's plate that he didn't necessarily have to have prior to this.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to hurt them, obviously, not having Mostert. It can only help them, I would imagine, running the football, at least just to have another weapon. All right, we're going to get into that. Again, Aronde will join us.
Text him?
Yeah,
you good?
Yeah.
Want me to text him?
Text Raheem. Crowder revealed to us that he saw Raheem Mostert a couple days ago before the Monday Night Football game.
I saw him at the Monday Night Football game.
You saw
after the game, I saw Raheem walking. Yeah. If you see, he wasn't on the side. He's in the box.
Right.
And I saw him because we were up on the suite level at Crack 203, best restaurant, best stadium restaurant in all of Hard Rock. Crack 203, come check me out. But I saw him walking out, and Josh, I was kind of torn. Do I talk football or talk to him like just a friend? And I went the friend route, but maybe I should text him. Hey, Heem, how that chest? Whatever. I don't even know what the hell's wrong with him. Hey, Heem, how that rib feeling? I don't know.
Raheem, you have any experience playing edge rusher by any chance? Because we could use you on that side of the football, on that side of the field as well.
And Josh brings up Julian Hill. He's going to help a lot. He's going to jump off sides eight times, Josh. That's what he's going to do. Who's he going to block?
Look, I know you don't want to hear me do the Mike White thing, but at the very least, you would not have these double-digit procedural penalties that they've had the last couple weeks with a quarterback who's been in the league for seven seasons. I'm sorry. You just wouldn't, at the very least. I don't want to do that whole conversation.
The quarterback position after Tua has been mismanaged. Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Gino Toretta is going to join us in the next segment. The good news is that for the first time since 2017, the Miami Hurricanes are 5-0 in a season. Escaped against Virginia Tech, but got the dub. They're in Cal. 10:30 Saturday. Drink some mother bleeping coffee, all right, and stay the hell up and watch the Miami Hurricanes on Saturday. So Gino Toretta is going to join us to to break down that game. I do want to remind everybody before we get to headlines, Appel's going to fill in for me on headlines today. I know you did that the other day as well when I was stuck in Asheville. And you
I said Mostert was going to play in that Monday night game, and then he didn't play.
It's all right. I say a lot of things that don't end up becoming true either. I want to remind everybody, the Marley Brothers are coming to Bayfront Park. It's this Saturday, and we have one more chance for you to win tickets. Today's the last day we're giving away tickets, so just keep listening at some point throughout today's show. And I won't do it at the very end of the show, which is what we did yesterday. At some point during today's show, I'll let you know how you could win those tickets. Just keep listening. This is a Live Nation show. So Gino is going to join us in the next segment. But before that, Josh Appel is going to do headlines.
Oh, thank you, Solana. Headlines are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. Let's start on the pitch. Big news regarding soccer, the sport in South Florida. Alejandro Solana was announced today as the new men's soccer color analyst on ESPN Plus for FIU. That's the big soccer story in South Florida that everybody's talking about today.
Yeah, pause up, baby.
Yeah, pause up. When's your first game?
This Saturday.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Congrats, brother.
Thank you. I'm battling for Crowder most jobs in South Florida media. I've got like six of them now. Crowder's got 17 jobs. And I just got to open up a restaurant at FIU, Pitbull Stadium FIU, and I'm competing with Crowder.
Sleep is overrated, bro. Sleep when you're dead.
Yeah.
What's the saying, Crowder? First one sets the market.
First one in sets the market.
First one in sets the market.
No idea what it means. I just yell it at people.
It just sounds good.
It does, doesn't it?
The other much less significant soccer news from yesterday. How about Inter Miami? They beat Columbus Crew last night 3-2. They clinched the Supporters' Shield for the first time in club history. Also means they clinched the top seed in the Eastern Conference. They have home field advantage throughout the rest of the postseason. Regular season ends in a little over 2 weeks. And not surprisingly, given who's on the team, although I guess surprisingly, considering how long those guys didn't play for a stretch this year, they're on pace to set the league record in points.
It is crazy. I want to get into this at some point. I want to get your perspectives because you guys don't really follow soccer as much. There's this big debate right now. Should Messi be the MLS MVP? He's missed half the game. So if this was the NBA, he wouldn't even be eligible for postseason awards. But despite missing half the games, he leads the MLS in – or doesn't lead, but he's like top of the MLS in goal contributions. I think he has 17 goals, 15 assists. And people are like, well, he can't be MVP. He's missed half the games. But he's missed half the games, and he's at the top – in every statistical category. So I think it's a fascinating conversation. We don't have time for it now because Gino's coming on, but we'll get to it later. Either way, what Inter Miami has done and what Jorge Mas has built, I think needs to be celebrated. I know we don't get into soccer that much, but it is outstanding that finally you had Messi for a full season. Despite him not playing, that team is still potentially going to break an MLS record. It's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I think they made a lot of people down here eat some crow.
Yes, sir.
Myself included.
Yes, sir.
Dolphins
news.
Getting
great players. They have Suarez. They have Messi. Yeah. They have like
Busquets, Jordi Alba. They're loaded.
Busquets, Alba. Yeah. Calendar. Is Calendar still there?
He made a huge save.
He had a great
yesterday.
Save last night on a penalty.
Yeah.
The game was on in New Jersey. That's how I knew the game meant something because I'm sitting at Ale House in New Jersey watching the Herons.
Hell yeah, you
did
are.
Did you stand up? Did you stand up and give a big cheer when Drake Callender made the save on the PK?
I wasn't really watching it. It was on.
Okay. Well, on that note, Thursday Night Football tonight, Falcons at the Bucs, 8:15 kick on Amazon. Falcons are 2-point favorites at home. Did I already say that the Bucs will be at home? Regardless.
Yeah.
The Falcons and Bucs are playing tonight. Whether it's in Atlanta or Tampa, the details don't really matter.
It's in Atlanta.
It's in Atlanta?
Yeah, it's in Atlanta.
I got Tampa big. I already bet it.
I got the Bucks too.
I like the Bucks too, but I feel like it's a sucker's bet because everybody's saying, oh, the Bucks are going to cover that. Two on the road, Bakers look good, the Bucks look good overall, and nobody's buying into the Falcons despite them having some impressive wins.
You can hear whether or not it's a sucker's bet right here on WQAM tonight. Westwood One's coverage, 8:15 Thursday Night Football.
All right, let's do weather so we have enough time with Gino Appel.
All right, weather sponsored by Demesman and Dover Law Firm, your accidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. Partly cloudy outside, hot, humid, South Florida, beginning of October. Hopefully it gets a little chillier here coming up soon. There's your weather.
There we go. Gino Toretta is going to join us. We'll leave the Dolphins for a little bit later on in the show, and we're going to talk about the real Miami football team in South Florida right now. That is the Miami Hurricanes. Gino Toretta next. Hawk is off. Again, happy Rosh Hashanah to all those who celebrate. Crowder, Appel, Solana, and Jimmy will take you up until 6. More Hawk and Crowder after this.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Yeah, how much for one rib?
Hawk and Crowder.
Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, will join us here in a second. Before we get to him, let me remind everybody that you can join the WQAM on-air staff at Smoke on the Water in Weston. It's our Whiskey Stars and Cigars event. It's coming next Wednesday, October 9th. It's presented by Ed Moore Sawgrass Auto Mall. You can enjoy a sample of Jack Daniel's Bonded Series, a nice Drew Estate cigar, and sports talk with the WQAM on-air staff. Must be over 21. Drink responsibly. Official partner is the main man. There's nobody better to help you flip your biz and cash out big than the main man. Go online, www.themainman.com, sponsored by the injury law firm Cohen and Judah, where a partner handles every single case. Call 866-FAIR-FEE. Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He joins us every Thursday. And Gino, you're in California right now. That's your home state. You're getting ready to call the UM Cal game nationally on Touchdown Radio. Gino is the ambassador for Evening's Delight, South Florida's source for all outdoor kitchen, grilling, and tailgate needs. And they have a full line of grills, smokers, charcoal, pellets, and fuel. If you know Gino, you know how much he loves to be behind the grill. Evening's Delight, they have two locations, Pinecrest and Davie. Evening's Delight is South Florida's source for big green egg grills, accessories, seasoning, sauces, and more. Gino, how is the state of California?
The state of California, it's the hottest it's ever been on a trip to in an October game. It was I landed about 10 o'clock last night, and it was still almost 80 degrees in downtown San Francisco. And for if anybody knows the Bay Area, usually it's freezing cold there right now, and the fog just lays. But it's going to be 90-plus degrees. It'll be more Miami weather on Saturday night than Cal Berkeley weather. So we will see.
And quickly, I got to go back. We're going to talk about the Canes VTech game. We're going to talk about the Cal game coming up. You're out there. But you talk about Evening's Delight, Solana. I'm blessed to say I can text Gino Toretta and ask him questions, and I hit him up about some grills. Evening's Delight, people, I text a guy, and three people called me back. What grill do you want? Okay, let me see if it's in stock. Okay, what's it? Send me an address for delivery. It was Gino, this morning when you sent me the number, bro, deliveries is already set up now. They're bringing it Saturday. It is the craziest thing in the world. I went on the website. I picked out what grill I wanted, and the delivery is already set up. Send me an email and number for a confirmation number. So if you're looking for anything outdoors, man, this Evening Delight, they blew my mind this morning, bro.
What pellets are you going with the grill? Are you going the signature, or are you going, like when I started, I would go hickory in there. I think that's a really good flavor. But now I just, maybe I'm lazy, I just go with the signature that's just an all wood blend.
It's funny, Gino, because I'm a hickory dude, because it's easy to find hickory chunks.
Right.
Because I was never a pellet guy. I was looking into the Traegers. I looked at like a Traeger 570. It was some numbers, and they were like, no, get the Traeger 680. So like they kind of guided me in the right direction.
Perfect.
But yeah, I gotta go hickory, man. I need that. I know the
all
flavor
right,
of
all
hickory.
Right,
I know how my ribs are gonna taste when that hickory is on.
Do you, Gino? Do you travel with your like big green egg? Can you check that in?
No, that, you know what, they can't. I got patted down at, coming home from Auburn. with a full size can of shaving gel. I was like, dude, come on. How many flights have I taken in the last month with that in my bag? And you're going to pull it out at 11 o'clock at night when I'm trying to fly back to Miami. So, it's just, you know, certain TSAs are crazy.
I pray at TSA they don't open my bag. No. Please keep going.
Anything sharp or anything in here? Well, any of that stuff is all good now. Maybe you're just old enough to remember what it wasn't all good.
Yeah, they're like, oh.
Nothing sharp, but it smells funny.
Mr. Crowder, why do you have 72 cans of Crowder powder in your bag?
No, he's got coffee grounds. Trying to throw off the sniffing dogs.
So again, Gino Toretta, he is the ambassador of Evening's Delight, and he joins us every Thursday. Gino, let's start with the Vautech game. Everybody has a take on it. We've talked about it at nauseam on our show. Bottom line, the Canes, they escape with the victory. I wonder, A, what you thought of the final decision, and B, are you impressed that the Canes didn't look good in the first half? Cam Ward, finally, we see him struggle a little bit. Really, the offensive line struggled as well, but they still were able to figure out a way to pull out the dub.
You know, I don't necessarily I'm not as concerned with the offense. I mean, with the amount of points they put on the board, I'm kind of fine with that. I thought, you know, you get used to making certain throws, and he's trying to throw a wheel route, you know, to Restrepo in the red zone going in the end zone. And basically in zone coverage, the guy just kind of baited him. All right, you want to throw that flat, throw it flat. But when you throw it flat, I'm going to pick it off. Because had he just put some air under it, throw it to the back pylon, give Restrepo a chance, that ball's not picked off. I just thought the mistakes of the offense, you know, listen, those are going to happen at times. I was more concerned with our run defense. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I see a knee brace on old boy, the running back, I'm like going, oh, we got this guy. He can't run. He outran our whole defense for I don't know how many yards he had, but I'm like, that dude was moving. And, you know, obviously that was the concern, a lot of missed tackles. I know they were preaching on that in practice all week. Listen, the last play, I was watching the game in Atlanta, and I just thought the ball never stopped moving. And if the ball never stopped moving and then that player did not end up with it, it's not a catch. But I also understand the fact that if it was a called touchdown on the field and it's not clear, you know, I mean, irrefutable evidence, most of the time the call stands. So did they dodge a bullet? I think they probably dodged a bullet. They just, you know, the defense didn't play well and they, you know, they dodged a bullet. But the craziness is nationally, they're like, oh, this is a conspiracy. I mean, come on. You think the officials in any conference are like, boy, these guys are still undefeated. Like, they give two bleeps about, you know, who's winning the game. That to me is just a ridiculous argument.
That's how you know the youth back, Gino. Everybody's mad about the Canes winning a controversial game. That's how you know the youth back, baby.
You know what? It's funny, Salada, is I went into Home Depot this week, and a guy goes, oh, they're going to lose. And listen, they don't know who I am. I'm, you know, just an average 50-some-year-old white dude in there trying to buy something. And I go, well, why do you say that? He goes, bro, I'm from here. It's the city. You start winning a few games, you're britching, your chest is out, you're getting all big, and then you're just going to slip up. And I thought I thought that was funny because he was just like, it's just the city. We get arrogant. You know how it is. We get a little success, and we don't know how to handle it. But he's not old enough to remember how we kicked ass and handled it a lot long time ago. So,
and yeah, Gino, so the narrative with that game would be you had some trouble, you had a little adversity, and you fought through it and ended up winning late. That was a big moment in the game. But to your point, because I was telling people, same thing, you know, people come to me all the time now about the Canes, and, you know, I'm an honorary member this year. Thank you so much.
You're on the bandwagon?
Let me on the wagon. I appreciate it. But it was the little guys. To your point, I wasn't going to – the D-line, O-line, I'm watching them play, and they can play. It's what we were kind of talking about through the summer, where can these DBs hold up against those top SEC teams, those big-time schools? Can the receivers get separation against those All-American defensive backs? Did that waver at all? Or was that just the game that they needed to lock in and figure it out? Because Cam started hauling ass. I didn't even know Cam could run that fast.
Oh, yeah.
Cam probably pulled that – He pulled that thing down, Geno, a couple times, was like, the hell with that. Let me go get this first down.
I mean, all you had to do was put a three after that one, and he would have looked like me out there on my scampering ability. But, no, I'm not concerned. You put up 35, 38 points, whatever the final number was. I mean, you should win most games. You know, and it's just the run defense and the missed tackles. And, listen, over the last, let's say, 15 years, we've watched a lot of defenses that missed a lot of tackles by the second line of defense. And that to me, was the most concerning part of the whole deal. And, listen, Cal's got Jaden Ott, and he's been banged up. He got hurt their first game. But he came into the season, he was averaging 95 a game on the ground and 120 all-purpose yards. This dude can play. And if he's 100%, these guys have had 2 weeks to prepare. If you don't shore that up and you don't get him to the ground, it's going to be another problem. And the late kicks just absolutely suck. I mean, I remember playing Arizona my junior year. We flew out to Arizona. We played the same thing. 10:30 Eastern kick. Man, at halftime, it was 2 in the morning our time. I was exhausted. Like I could have literally, if I'd have caught in my locker, I could have fallen asleep in a locker room. And that concerns me, because it's going to be the same case, you know, this Saturday.
You know, I think, Gino, that people are kind of forgetting what they thought of that Virginia Tech matchup on paper coming into the season, because that was one of the games people pointed to and said, that's going to be one of their tough ACC games. Obviously, they had a couple of close losses, now a third one to Miami, but do you think, how beneficial was it for Miami, who had blown out the teams that they had previously played, to have a game like that where they had to kind of fight for it, come from behind late? How beneficial do you think it was for this team with the aspirations that they had?
Well, I think it tests them. You know, I think you're right. It's funny because nobody remembers, because everybody was saying it's Virginia Tech. They're the sleeper in the ACC. They got 20 guys returning, all these starters, and their quarterback has just had a pedestrian start to the season. He was completing like less than 50% of his passes. Hell, listen, Josh, you've been down here long enough. We've made some quarterbacks at Virginia Tech a lot of money. We made Tyrod Taylor All-American. We made Logan Thomas, who ended up being a tight end in the NFL. He threw for 450 yards on us in Hard Rock. I'm like going, what is it? Virginia Tech quarterbacks against Miami just light us up, and the guy came to life and made some plays. And I think what it does for any, you know, what does Saban call it? Rat poison. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start getting patted on the back, any young kid, man, they start off 4-5-0. They're thinking, man, chest out. We're going to the playoffs. It's a lock. Miami's a lock. Florida State's not very good. Clemson's not very good. Miami's just going to walk into the playoffs. It brings you down to earth pretty quickly to say, you still got to play them 60 minutes every Saturday, and you better bring your A game, else you are going to get beat.
Gino, what? No, I had to ask him. What kind of sideline pass does Michael Irvin have? Because I go to Florida games and they don't let me do the Michael Irvin. What does he have around his neck?
Well, the I would say the funny thing about our sideline pass. So, you know, if you remember, we got in trouble for some sideline issues prior. So, when I was playing, Luther Campbell was on the sideline. We had two live crew. We were wearing the bandanas. We had the party going. I mean, Gary Sheffield and Benito Santiago playing with the Marlins. They'd be on the sidelines, and it was a party. So to be on the sidelines, you either have to be, I think what it is, you have to be an NFL Hall of Famer, College Hall of Famer, or I think maybe an All-American. So there's not – they haven't let the players back on the sidelines. Michael is always allowed on the sidelines. And I would say this, I don't care what pass Michael Irvin has, or even if he has a pass, or even if security would stop him on the sideline. Because I guarantee you, if you watch when he was going crazy on the sideline, and listen – I don't know what he was saying, and I'm sure the guys probably didn't understand 90% of what he was saying, but ain't nobody getting him to stop. whatever it is he was saying, man, I was hype. I was like, holy cow, Michael looks like he's going to go out there and put 47 on it and run some corner routes and some bang eights on Virginia Tech and take over. But, his pass is his carte blanche. I don't know what it says, but it's different than my pass and everybody else's pass.
Gino Toretta, again, the ambassador for Evening's Delight. He will be on the call. You can listen to the game on QAM, but he will be on the call nationally on Touchdown Radio. Gino, is Cal good? I can't figure this out. I know we talked about Jaden Ott, and if he's healthy, he's obviously a threat. And everybody knows about Cal's quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, went to Columbus. He had a couple comments a few days ago where he was saying he respects FSU, UM a lot. He grew up in this area. He wanted to play there. It didn't work out. He went to Cal, and it's obviously working out for him. But Cal has a road win at Auburn, which I don't care what Auburn looks like this year. That's pretty damn impressive to go to an SEC school on the road and beat them. But then they lost to FSU, who might be the worst team in the ACC. Is Cal good?
Cal has forced 11 turnovers. They got 10 picks early in the season. So they've been fortunate. They create turnovers. Their defense, listen, Josh Wilcox is a head coach because he's a deep, great deep coordinator, cut his teeth at Wisconsin, a bunch of places, Oregon, and he can devise a defense. Offensively, defensively, they've given up less than 14 every single week. So yes, they can play defense. Offensively, and I would just go to last season. I did USC at Cal, and it was more of, hey, I wanted to come home and see my mom and family, and it ended up being a great game with Caleb Williams, and I was like, who the hell is Francisco Mendoza, and how does a kid really should have beat USC in that game, and he outplayed Caleb Williams. The kid's accurate. The kid's tough. He's got some moxie to him. He doesn't make mistakes. And when you have a guy like that in college that can operate and has some weapons around him, yeah, they are good and they can play. And dude, they've had 2 weeks off. They've had a week off. So, that to me is what concerns me the most about this game is the week off.
I mean, you mentioned, Gino, a little bit earlier just about the travel aspect of this. And in years past, different versions of this Miami team have gone to places like UTEP for the Holiday Bowl and dealt with cold weather there and not performed well. They've dealt with quote-unquote cold weather in Orlando and not dealt with it well. There's just different instances over the years where certain travel aspects of where they go affect them negatively. You alluded to it a little bit earlier, but how much of a factor do you think that'll be for this group going to the West Coast playing at that time?
Well, I hope it's not too much of a factor, but they're used to practicing at 9 in the morning, and they're going to be playing at 10:30 Eastern, their body clock time, so that is a big difference. They changed up their routine. They're flying out there today. So that's an extra day of travel. Channing, you played in the West Coast in your career. I don't know what the right answer is. I've been on teams in the league where you go out a day early to the East Coast and you see if you can acclimate. To me, I think you keep it the same. I wouldn't have come out till Friday because the travel day you lose practice time anyway. But it is whether you're playing a game, trying to play your best level, your body clock is for real. Like at 10:30 at night, you're probably thinking, hey, you're winding down. Your body's thinking at that time. But now they got to ramp up. The weather is going to be hot and that, so they're going to be fine that. I'm concerned on the body clock issue, especially because their practice time is totally different than their game time this week.
Nah, Cam Ward, he spent some time over on the West Coast. He'll be fine. Come on. And Gino, I believe when Washington State and Cam Ward played at Cal, they ended up losing, but he had a big game. Like, their defense just gave up a bunch of points. So,
Solana, you realize, like, Washington State to Cal is, like, at most a two-hour flight, and I just flew out here last night. I think it was, like, 6 hours. You realize there's, like, the same time zone and a two-hour flight versus 3 hours difference. in a 6-hour flight? You realize that, right?
No, I don't. I'm not a geography
major. I know you're
major.
Geographically challenged, and you know the little boot, the little peninsula state on the bottom southeastern corner of the United States.
Gino,
I'm just trying to give you a little geography lesson. We're on the other coast. We're not on the Fort Myers West Coast. We're on the West Coast of California.
Gino, they're going to Fort Myers.
Gino, I flew to North Carolina right as they got hit by a catastrophic hurricane.
You know what? I wanted to talk about what the hell. I told you, I was like, man, get out of there. Of all the people that's been through hurricanes, and you're dumb and your crew going on an Airbnb right before a storm. And then when you realize, when the news says major flooding and all that's going to be hitting, I'd be like, all right, get me out of there. I mean, you couldn't find an Uber to get to wherever some deliverance cabin you were staying in. You should have known at that point in time, go to a hotel, spend one night, and just the hell with it. We need to get out of here.
Yeah, not my wisest decision. The funny part is, like, the last person I had contact with was Gino Bleeping Toretta. Like, somehow.
I was concerned with you, and I texted Hawk. I said, dude, is Solana all right? Like, do we need – I mean, I got some buddies in the town. Do I need to – and Hawk was like, hell, I don't even know where he is. He could have given to you-know-whats about him. So.
He enjoyed the deliverance cabin, though. He wanted to be up there.
I'll say it again. What happened at 2 Reuben Road stays at 2 Reuben Road.
No, guys, come on back, guys. Come on back. No.
Gino is the ambassador again for Evening's Delight, and he joins us courtesy of Evening's Delight. Two locations, Pinecrest and Davie in South Florida, and they are your source for Big Green Egg grills, accessories, seasoning, sauces, and more. Gino, have a great call this weekend or on Saturday. Again, touchdown radio nationally for UM Cal. Bring us home another W. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right. That's Gino Toretta there. More Hockman and Crowder with Appel, Jimmy, Crowder, and Solana coming up next.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Now, what about the McRib at McDonald's? It's a delicacy only a few times a year.
Next question.
What?
Hawk and Crowder.